Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. What Jane Austen Ate and Charles Dickens Knew by Daniel Poole is a lively guide to the practical realities behind classic British novels. Instead of focusing on plots or literary interpretation, Poole reconstructs the everyday knowledge that 19th century readers would have taken for granted, from how people traveled and communicated to what they wore, ate, and paid for common goods. The book acts as a cultural decoder for works by authors such as Austen and Dickens, helping modern readers understand why certain actions matter, what social cues imply, and how class and money shaped every interaction. Organized by topic and written for general readers, it bridges the gap between historical scholarship and reading pleasure. For anyone who has wondered what a calling card signaled, how a household ran, or what a gentleman was expected to do with his time, Poole offers clear context that makes familiar novels feel more immediate and intelligible. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, food, dining, and the rhythms of the day. Poole clarifies how meals structured time and social life in 19th century England, a detail that often drives scenes in Austen and Dickens. Breakfast could be substantial, while dinner might be scheduled far later than many modern readers expect, with tea functioning as both a ritual and a social tool. Understanding when people ate, what foods were typical, and how servants enabled these routines helps explain the pacing of visits, the logistics of travel days, and the meaning of invitations. The book also highlights the role of hospitality as a form of status display, where menus, wines, and table etiquette communicated refinement and wealth without anyone needing to say so directly. By outlining what was seasonal, what was imported, and what was considered plain versus fashionable, Poole gives readers a way to interpret references that otherwise blur into atmosphere. The result is a more concrete sense of daily comfort, hardship, and aspiration, and a clearer grasp of how domestic scenes carry social stakes beyond conversation alone. Secondly, money, class signals, and the economics of respectability. A major barrier for modern readers is the financial vocabulary of classic novels, including incomes, allowances, debt, and the cost of maintaining appearances. Poole breaks down how money worked in practice and how it intersected with class, emphasizing that social rank was both performed and enforced through spending patterns. He explains why a certain income could make someone marriageable, why a household might employ a specific number of servants, and why credit could be both convenient and dangerous. The book also explores how fortunes were built and protected through property, investments, and inheritance customs, illuminating why characters treat entailments, dowries, and annuities as life-defining facts. By translating vague references to sums and salaries into a relative sense of purchasing power, Poole helps readers see the pressure behind genteel behavior. Being respectable required constant financial management. This context sharpens the stakes of courtship, career choices, and social climbing, and it reveals how economic realities underpin moral judgments in the fiction of the period. Thirdly, clothing, grooming, and the language of appearance. Poole shows that clothing in 19th century England was not merely fashion, but a public language that communicated gender, class, occupation, and moral credibility. Fabrics, cuts, colors, and cleanliness were read as evidence of self-control and status, and the ability to dress correctly depended on money and access to skilled labor. The book explains why certain garments were practical for travel, work, or countryside sport, and why other items were indispensable for evening events, morning, or formal calls. It also addresses the supporting infrastructure behind a polished appearance, including laundering, tailoring, shoe care, and hairdressing, much of it handled by servants or specialized tradespeople. Understanding these routines helps readers interpret scenes where a character's dress is praised, criticized, or carefully noted by a narrator, because those details often signal respectability or hidden strain. Poole's approach makes the visual world of the novels more legible, showing how appearance shaped first impressions, marriage prospects, and assumptions about character long before anyone spoke a word. Fourthly, travel, communication, and the scale of the world. Many classic plots rely on letters, delayed news, and difficult journeys, and Poole explains the practical limits that made these devices realistic rather than convenient coincidences. He outlines how people traveled by coach, carriage, and later rail, what routes and timetables implied, and why weather or road conditions mattered. The book also covers communication habits such as letter writing, posting times, and the social etiquette of replying, which clarifies why silence could be interpreted as insult, rejection, or danger. These details reshape how readers understand separation and suspense in 19th century fiction. Distance was experienced differently when travel was expensive, tiring, and sometimes risky, and when information moved at a pace that left room for rumor and misunderstanding. Poole links these constraints to everyday planning, including how visits were arranged, how long a stay might be, and why certain social circles remained insulated. The result is a more accurate sense of how large England felt, how quickly life could change with a single letter, and how mobility affected class interaction. Lastly, leisure, etiquette, and the rules of social competition, Poole explores the structured leisure of the period, from card games and dancing to outdoor pursuits like hunting, showing how recreation functioned as social training and social sorting. Knowing how whist was played, what a ballroom required, or what a day of country sport implied helps readers catch the social meaning embedded in casual scenes. The book emphasizes that etiquette was not empty ritual, but a set of rules that reduced ambiguity while reinforcing hierarchy. Calls, introductions, seating, forms of address, and appropriate topics of conversation all governed how people could pursue friendship, influence, and marriage without appearing aggressive. Poole also highlights how leisure depended on labor, with servants making parties, trips, and even quiet evenings possible, an insight that reframes the apparent ease of the upper and middle classes. By mapping these norms, the book helps readers see why a minor breach can trigger scandal, why a character may feel trapped by propriety, and why social life often resembles a competitive game with high personal and financial stakes. In conclusion, this book suits readers who enjoy Jane Austen, Charles Dickens, and other 19th-century British authors, as well as students, book clubs, and history-minded readers who want cultural context without wading through academic jargon. It can benefit a reader's life by improving comprehension and empathy. Once you understand the constraints of money, travel, etiquette, and household labor, characters' choices feel less puzzling and more human, and the novels become richer as studies of real social systems. It is also useful for writers and researchers who need quick, reliable orientation to everyday details that shape believable scenes. Compared with many similar companions, Poole's advantage is the practical, scene-ready focus on daily life, organized in a way that answers the common questions readers actually ask while moving through a story. Instead of summarizing plots, it supplies the missing background knowledge that makes classic literature more immersive and rewarding, which makes it a worthwhile purchase for frequent rereaders. If you would like to support Daniel Poole, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.